thank you that we don't have to worry about what the devil has planned for tomorrow or even what he may do today. We have the assurance that as we yield to your Spirit, your will be accomplished in our lives. Lord, you have created complex beings, and we are more than just the dust that we're made of, because you breathed life into us. You gave us a spirit. So we are spirit and body. And Father, if we're honest, we will agree with your word that we struggle even after we are saved. We struggle sometimes with the pull of the world because we have that fleshly nature. And Father, we pray that as we seek you, as we surrender to you, Father, that you will strengthen us in the Spirit to overcome the way of the world. Lord, thank you for your answers to prayers. Lord, we heard a great yay God today, and thank you for that answer. And Father, there are other answers that we may not have heard, but they are marvelous nonetheless. Father, as we sit here this morning for these next 30 minutes, help us to be still and know that you're God. Help us to hear your truth and apply your truth. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. What does our thoughts have to do with anything? Well, your thoughts, think about this for just a moment. Our thought life is more than just the brain matter that we contain. Your brain is a mass of specially designed neurons, and it's magnificent in the way it does things, but is that really our thoughts? Not really. Not really. I heard someone the other day make a statement that the more I pondered on it, the more I thought they were right. Our thought life is the interface, if you will, between the spirit of us, the spirit that we are, and the body that we inhabit. Do the thoughts die when the body dies? No. So the thoughts are part of the spirit, but they also have bearing on the flesh as well. So you might look at the thoughts as our thoughts as an interface, if you will, between the two. The verse of Scripture that's key this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are they. Because we are, by and large, if not completely, we are who we think we are. We are who we think we are. Now the next verses of Scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, says this: For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, that is a capital S, the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, now another word for carnally is fleshly or worldly, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because where does life come from? Life came from God who gave it, right? Life is established in Him. Without Him, there is no life. Let's keep going. Matthew 15, 18 through 20. But those things which proceed, this is Jesus speaking, for those things which proceed out of the mouth of, from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Now, Jesus was answering the Pharisees in this when they were complaining that the disciples were eating without ceremonially cleansing their hands. And Jesus said, eating without ceremonially cleansed hands is not going to defile you, because defilement doesn't come from the outside in. Defilement comes from the inside out. James says that too when he says, where does wars and those kind of things come from? They come from inside the heart of man. Now, when we make those kind of statements, let's say the heart of man, are we talking about the organ that pumps blood? No. The heart, the organ that pumps blood, doesn't have anything to do with this, does it? The word heart used in that, and the term when we say dear and near to my heart, doesn't mean the organ that pumps blood. It means near and dear to the center of who I am, my thoughts, my thought life. So when we say things are dear to my heart or they come from the heart, we don't mean the circulatory organ. We mean that organ that's not really an organ, that organ that is our thought life. Let's keep going. Romans 12:2. You ought to be able to close your eyes and say this one. Do not be conformed to what? But be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we're going to jump ahead for just a little bit here. God said not to be conformed, but to be transformed by making your mind new. Now the good thing about that is God's a creator. And when He created you, He had a plan for you. And His plan is not gone by the wayside. He has a plan for you. And when you are saved, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He creates a new creature. You got the same body. You got the same organic material, but you don't have the same thoughts. You hear me? You don't have the same thoughts, because He has created a new you. You are not the same person. If you are the same as before you met Jesus, then you never met Jesus. Because He is going to change your way of thinking. How can 12 men who had a lot of problems become disciples and the fathers of the early church? Because Jesus changed them. Paul, who was originally known as Saul, was a persecutor with a capital P of the early church. What happened to him on the road to Damascus? He met Jesus, and Jesus made him new. As a matter of fact, he was so different, he changed his name. I think we ought to do that. When you get saved, change your name. That'd freak people out, wouldn't it? Change your name. So, we're talking about our thought life. Let's keep going. So, the mind of man, the thought life of man, is the interface between our spirit and our body. And in red, it is a battlefield of good and evil. Listen to me now. This is where the battle's going to take place. In your life. Now, is the devil going to come against you physically? He could. And sometimes he does, but most likely this is where the battle is going to be joined day in and day out. And Satan does not take a holiday nor a vacation, and he comes to church as well. That's why Scripture says put on the armor of God, and the first thing it says put on is what? The helmet of salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've not been saved, then you are unprotected. Why do Roman soldiers put on a helmet? Why do soldiers today put on a helmet? Why do I have to wear a hard hat when I go out in the mill? Because you got to protect your noggin. Because it's important. It's important. The battlefield between good and evil, the spiritual warfare in your life, most likely every day, day in and day out for the rest of your life, is going to be joined in your mind, in your thought life. Let's keep going. So the first thing we want to consider is the power of our thoughts. Okay, why is this a big deal? The power of our thoughts. because the power of our thoughts can and will alter the direction of our life. You know, I've thought about this before because of, the years I was in public safety and in the rescue squad now. You know, you wonder sometimes, like I-65, that section that's pretty flat and pretty straight has the worst record of traffic accidents in this part of the state. Why is that? Because people's minds are somewhere else. And you start thinking about this invention of man called an automobile, a truck, and it's traveling down the road at 70 miles an hour. It's going to go where you tell it to go, whether it should or not. I've thought about it before. You know, I've seen these pictures of like from dash cams of police cars where they're either working an accident or they got somebody stopped, and all of a sudden you see this big truck a lot of times, but not always, veer all the way over and crash into a vehicle parked side of the road, and you think, what in the world? Didn't you see the sea of blue lights and red lights? That truck doesn't know anything. That truck is going where the mind of that driver is taking it, whether it should be there or not. And our life will go where our thoughts take us, whether it should or not. So the power of our thoughts will take us and alter the direction of our lives. There are people in prison today who made one wrong choice. But it was enough of a bad choice that it altered the direction of their lives. I'm sure you know, and perhaps you are one of them, who regrets some decision you made in life that you wish you could take back, but you can't do it. Our thoughts can alter the direction of our lives. When you met Jesus Christ, and I hope everybody in here has, when you met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your thoughts changed the direction of your life when you decided to trust Him. And He created a new creature. You see, what we think of ourselves does matter. When we understand what God thinks of us, when we see ourselves and think of ourselves in light of who He is and who I am, then we have an accurate picture of who we are. The power of our thoughts alter the way we perceive the world. We've talked before about how can somebody not think that this small unborn baby is alive? How could you not think that? But they don't think it because they have a skewed view of life. Why? Because their thoughts are not directed by the Spirit of God. The power of our thoughts depend, or rather decide the values and judgments that we make. You're going to make a decision based on what you really think. Now, you may tell me or you may tell somebody one thing, but your decision is going to reflect what you really think. The power of our thoughts can either motivate or demoralize. There have been all kinds of examples throughout history where people have been motivated by their way of, or change of thinking sometimes, to do great things as they surrendered their life to Christ. There's also examples of individuals who had all the gifts and all the ability, but because of the way they were thinking, they wasted it all, and their life is demoralized. So the power of our thoughts, do not ever underestimate the power of your thoughts. They will determine the direction of your life. Secondly, The source of our thoughts. Well, you might say, well, I have my own thoughts. Well, yeah, but maybe not. Our thoughts are maybe based upon our self-experience. Well, that works to a certain extent, but do you have all experience? Do you know everything? No, I don't either. So our thoughts based upon self-experience are limited. Now listen to me, teenagers. I love you guys. But teenagers get in trouble here sometimes, and I'm speaking from experience here as well. Teenagers get in trouble because how much experience you got as a teenager? 13 years, 16 years of life? But the trouble is, the teenager thinks, now really, I'm serious, a teenager thinks they know. They think they know. I remember, I know it was a long time ago, but I remember. We think we know. And the trouble is, we don't have the self-experience to go with that thinking we know, and that's what gets us in trouble sometimes. So self-experience is okay as far as it goes, but we got to remember, we don't have all the experience. I told the kids before about when I was going hunting with Dad the first time. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, Dad had shown me, you know, we'd gone over the stuff with the gun, but I'd never been hunting. I'd never been in the woods in the pitch black dark. I was scared to death. I was watching him, and I was doing what he said because I didn't have the self-experience. Okay, well, then maybe our thoughts need to come from observations. Well, that helps sometimes as long as we're paying attention, open our eyes and open our ears. But sometimes we tend to be driving down the road and not paying attention, the road of life, not paying attention, and that's when we get in trouble because our observations are not always what they need to be either. Okay, well, maybe my thoughts, the source of my thoughts are going to be from the influence of others. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it can be, but you don't want to go there. Unless that other person is a godly man or woman. You know, Paul said, you want to know how to follow Christ? Follow me. Paul was not bragging. He was just saying, I'm following as close to Christ as I can. You want to see what that looks like? Follow me. Now, if you got somebody in your life that's that way, then amen. Let them influence you by all means. But be careful who you let influence your thought life. Everybody that says they're your friend is not your friend. Remember, Satan is a deceiver with a capital D, and he'll tell you whatever you want to hear. But he has no intention of doing anything for your good. The source of our thoughts can sometimes be the worldly wisdom, so-called, that man thinks we're smart and that we have figured everything out. That really gets us in trouble because pride goes before a fall. When we think we got it all figured out, watch out. That's when you're going to stumble. That's when you're going to stumble. When you think you got it all figured out, you know how everything's going to work, and you got it all together, look out, man. Satan is waiting around to trip you up. Be careful, because the subject and the source of our thoughts can be influenced by the trash of the world that we put in. Now you might say, well, I don't put trash in my mind. Oh, yes, you can. Very easily you can put trash in. How? Turn on the TV. That's all you got to do. Turn on the radio to some stations. Get online. Sometimes you got to watch out on Facebook, because Satan is working, and he's going to put trash out there, and you got to be careful not to let trash in. Now, why don't you want trash in your life? Let me ask you, you want trash in your kitchen? You want trash on your table? You know, Kathy was talking about this restaurant we went to the other day, and first thing she looked at was the health rating. Why do you care? Because it makes a difference, don't it? You may get sick. Well, you need to care what you take into your life. Do not think for a moment that you can spend time in God's Word and spend time in prayer and come to church and then go out on Monday and fill your mind with all kinds of trash and think you're going to be immune to it. You are not. My dad has a saying that I cannot repeat verbatim, but basically goes like this. If you roll in cow patties, you're going to stink. Is that not true? I had a little feist that loved to do that. She thought the great thing in the world was to go out and roll in a fresh cow patty and then come out and try to rub on me. I'm like, and she couldn't figure out how come I didn't want anything to do with her, because she stunk. Well, if you go out and fill your life with the things of the world, even though you may be trying to fill it with the things of God too, you know what? You got a fight going on. We talked about it in Sunday school. You got the fleshly nature and the spiritual nature. It's a dog fight. Who's going to win? The one you feed. The dog you feed is going to win. If you feed the fleshly nature, that dog's going to win. And you're going to be like, I go to church. Why am I having so much trouble? Because you're spending too much thought energy on the trash of the world. We need to leave the trash alone. Paul said, all this stuff I count as rubbish for the excellency of knowing Christ. Hopefully, the source of your thought life and the source of my thought life is going to be the Spirit of God, because that's the only one that's going to work out right. You hear me? It's the only one that's going to work out right. As we surrender and as we seek Him, God says, those that seek me with all their heart, I will be found by them. We need to seek Him like that. Thirdly, so what is all this? How does all this go together? How does God and our mind fit together? Well, we alluded to it earlier in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus wants to renew your mind, to give you a new mind. You ever worked on something and you just said, you know what, I just need to start over. And you just erase whatever it is and start over. Well, Jesus wants to erase the junk, haul out the garbage, and give you a new mind. Now listen to me very carefully. Listen to what I'm saying. Jesus cannot fix your problem until He fixes you. Hear me now. Whatever your problem is, Jesus cannot fix your problem till He fixes you, because that's what He wants to fix. You need to surrender your life to Him, ask Him to forgive you and save you and be your Lord. Then He will fix your problem. He does not fix the problem and then fix you. He fixes you, and then the problem will be fixed. Don't come to Him and say, Lord, fix my problems. Come and say, Lord, fix me. I surrender to you, and then He will fix your problems. You know, God wants His thoughts to become our thoughts. Now, have you ever thought about this, that God knows your thoughts? I remember the first time I ever really understood about that God hears our thoughts. Do you pray silently to God? Yeah, sometimes we do. Does He hear your silent prayer? Yes, He does. That is a big difference there, among other things, a big difference between God and Satan. Satan cannot read your mind. Satan does not know the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Now, he can make a good guess from observation. He's spent a lot of time with human beings over the last several thousand years, so he can understand, he can make a good guess, but Satan cannot read your thoughts. You cannot dismiss Satan with a thought. You got to do it with a word, because he does not know your thoughts. But God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart, and He says He will hold us accountable. Ouch! He knows our thoughts. And He wants our thoughts to be divergent from the world, not like the world, to be totally opposite from the world. You might say, well, how am I going to do that? I have a fleshly nature. Yes, you do. But He also says, take up the cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? It means die to self every day. Now, salvation is once and for all. But sanctification, surrender, is at least it is for me, an everyday thing. Maybe it's not for you, but it is for me. Because I tend to pick up the stuff and try to run again myself with it. Surrender every day. You see, holiness, the holiness of God in our lives, starts in our thinking. As a man or woman thinks in his heart, so they are. If you're thinking holy, if you're thinking righteous, if you're thinking the things of God, then you're going to speak, you're going to act, you're going to live the things of God. You might say, well, I can't do that. And, well, welcome to the club. I can't either, but He can, as we give Him place in our lives. So what's the end result? Here's your compass point. Fill your mind with the things of God, with the Word of God, and with your relationship with God, and then your mind will be renewed. do not conform to this world. J.B. Phillips' translation of the Bible says, do not let the world mold you into its way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus Christ is the only one that can renew your mind. And that only works when we desire Him to do so and we surrender to Him on a daily basis. What about you? How clean, how righteous, how pure, how beautiful is your thought life? If your thought life was splashed across this screen up here, would you run out the back door? Or would it honor and glorify God? More importantly, would He be pleased with it? Or would He be saddened by it? The good news is, He can make it new starting today. Starting today. You might say, well, I'm an old dog, and old dogs can't learn new tricks. Well, yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. Because you're not an old dog anymore when you're in Christ. You're a new creature. A new creature. Father, thank You for this time together, for Your Word. Lord, help us to guard our hearts and our minds. And Lord, who else can we trust besides You? Who better could we trust than You? And there is no one. So Father, we trust You with our thought life, and we seek to honor and glorify You with our thoughts. And we know the only way that's going to happen is if we surrender to You. So Father, I pray for everyone here today. No matter where they are in their life, no matter what's going on, no matter what their problems are, no matter how old or how young they are, that they will examine their thought life, and that, Father, they will desire for You to fill them with Your thoughts. Father, we know the only way that's going to happen is if we each individually come to You and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I have messed up, I think horribly, I live horribly, I speak horribly, and I know that I'm dead in my trespasses and sin. The only way to life, the only way to right thinking, the only way to right living is if You forgive me of my sins. And Father God, Lord Jesus, will You forgive me of my sins? Come into my heart and my life. Take over my thinking. Take over my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Perhaps you're a Christian that you've asked Him to save you, but you haven't been walking in newness of life. You haven't surrendered all of your thought life. So today is the day. Maybe your prayer is, Lord, forgive me for not following closely in Your steps. Forgive me where I've strayed. Lord, I surrender to You best I know how, anything and everything in my life. Pick me up, dust me off, Lord. Make me usable in Your kingdom. Father, whatever our need is, we know that You are the solution. We surrender to You in Jesus' name. Amen.